Joining us now is Nader Issa. Hi, Nader. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Of course. You're with the Chicago Sun-Times. You are the education reporter. A lot to talk about. A lot of parents pulling their hair out, trying to do all of this e-learning with their kids.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine how it is to be a parent. And this time I'm lucky that I don't have kids. So a lot of people are struggling, unfortunately, having their kids at home.
Well, so the governor announced, the closures officially for all in-person teaching on Friday. Of course, this didn't come as a big surprise to you, I'm sure.
No, if you're following this, you sort of knew, given the timeline of everything, that this was going to come sooner or later. I think there were a lot of parents, a lot of teachers, even some kids who were hoping that this wouldn't come. But I think deep down, most people knew that eventually schools were going to have to be shut down for the year, just because the timeline's so uncertain with where this is going. No one really knows where it's going to be a week, 2 weeks, a month from now.
What have you been hearing so far from parents and teachers? I know teachers are coming up with this e-learning curriculum, and then, of course, parents are trying to help and make sure that their children are actually doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's trying the best that they can. The teachers, I know a lot of people have sort of had the idea that teachers have basically gotten a few weeks off, but that's not really the case from everything that you hear from teachers, parents, students. Everyone's just trying their best. No one's really been in this situation before. This, you could say, is the biggest disruption to American education, at least this decade, or this generation, I mean. So no one really knows how to navigate it, but teachers are trying to come up with creative ways. They're even trying to coach their athletes over video.
Wow.
And then parents, of course, whatever they can, they're trying to help their kids if they have the ability to.
Well, of course, there's so many things that, especially if you're thinking about high school seniors or, juniors as well, that are prepping to take college testing and just all the things that they're missing out, whether it's sports or arts, theater, friendship, all the lasting memories that, your last couple of years of high school are supposed to be so memorable and meaningful. There's that grief. But then on top of that, there's logistical issues. One of them being, do all kids have access to a computer and internet in order to do this e-learning?
Yeah, and that's a really, really tough obstacle for a lot of people to overcome. There's when remote learning actually got started in earnest last Monday, there were only two-thirds of CPS students who had access to a computer and internet. And so and at a district that's 300,000, 350,000 kids, that means you have over 100,000 students who don't have a computer, don't have internet. And so when we can't see each other in person, that makes it really hard for kids to do their homework, to keep up the same pace that their classmates are learning. And so that's been a huge challenge, getting that going. And obviously, even if every single student had a computer, it's still not the same as being in person in a classroom. So that's all stuff that teachers, families are having to navigate right now.
So there's this huge debate right now on the learning gap, I'm guessing, and whether, are kids really learning right now effectively at home?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. No matter what school you look at, there seems to be some type of decrease in learning. Now, some schools are navigating better than others. If they have a lot of students who have laptops or access to internet computers at home, but it's a great question because no one really knows how to keep learning at the same level or if it's even possible. A lot of these schools now with remote learning in place have really detailed lesson plans in place, and they're trying to keep their kids learning. They're trying to keep them on track, even like AP classes, mm-hmm. which get students to high school juniors and seniors. You get college credit for them if you get a certain score on a test at the end of the year. Those are still trying to progress and move toward that test, but it's just really hard to be at the same pace when you don't have your teacher in front of you to ask questions so they can run you through things and really explain the material.
Well, this makes it's common sense, especially if you don't have the tools and the equipment that you need to learn while you're at home. And then also if you are somebody that learns better when you have hands-on instruction from a teacher that's physically present with you.
Right.
So in terms of the gap here, there's so many unknowns. How do you grade the students then? There was an issue with report cards, and then also we need to talk a little bit more about college testing too.
Yeah, and so grading has been a huge issue. Last week, there's a little bit of controversy because CPS said it was still going to send out third quarter report cards, and those are going out to families this week. And a lot of people felt it was sort of unfair to still be giving students grades for the third quarter when for the last month they haven't been in class. And the policy has sort of been, let's not harm students, let's not give them bad grades that are going to lower their grades while schools are closed. But then what that does on the flip side is if a student has a poor grade and they wanted to raise it by the end of the quarter, they haven't had that opportunity. Or if a student offers extra credit, or if a teacher offers extra credit, but the student doesn't have a laptop at home, they're not able to do that extra credit. And so that's been a big controversy the past week. A lot of parents raised some concern about that. The Chicago Teachers Union chimed in, was upset about that. But as far as the fourth quarter goes, going forward, we're going to have to see. The state needs to still put out some guidance on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll just see where it goes. But everyone's living in unprecedented times, so no one really knows what to do to help students and harm them as minimally as possible.
Speaking with Chicago Sun-Times education reporter Nader Issa. Nader, what are you hearing about? I heard the ACTs, are they still going to happen? How is this affecting kids and where they're going to go to college?
Yeah, so a lot of standardized testing is canceled. Almost all standardized testing is canceled for the spring. The SAT, for example, test that a lot of college admissions require, has been canceled for April and June. Those were May and June. Those are two dates that the test was going to be administered. And so that really puts high school juniors in a bind because they need to take those tests, they need to get those scores, and then in the fall they're supposed to be applying for colleges. And so what the College Board has done, the College Board is the nonprofit that runs these standardized tests, they're offering 5 days in the fall when mm-hmm. students can take them for free. It'll be once a month from August through December. And they're hoping that can sort of fill the gap. But I guess we'll see. It's going to be a tight window in the fall.
What about, you did a great article on parents even considering, holding their kids back a school year in order to make sure that they're not losing anything. You know, I know that some parents do this voluntarily, like in very grade school, very early on in grammar school. I think it was called redshirting, but some mm-hmm. parents are thinking about doing this even now.
Yeah, and this sort of came up in Illinois last week because Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made an announcement that he was going to allow parents in that state to hold their kids back if they thought that was what would be best for them. So Governor Pritzker was asked about it on Friday, and he didn't really have too much of an opinion on it. He said he hadn't seen what Governor DeSantis had done in Florida or talked about it with his education team, but that he would look into it. But he and all of his education officials have said repeatedly that they don't think students should be held back or hurt by these closures.
Nader,
and so,
can I interrupt you? Can you just hang out with me for just another couple of minutes, if you don't mind?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. We're going to have more with Nader. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Continuing our conversation with the Chicago Sun-Times education reporter, Nader Issa. Hi, Nader. So continue your thought there. I kind of cut you off there mid-sentence.
No worries. Give me some time to scroll through Twitter. So we were talking about
parents
grading.
Mm-hmm. parents potentially holding kids back.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, so the Florida governor has proposed that as an idea for parents. But here in Illinois, state education officials have basically said kids should still progress to their next grade, and any makeup work that they have to do, any makeup of lost learning that they have to do will come in that next grade. And Jesse Sharkey, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, weighed in last week, too, and said education research shows that more harm is done than good when you hold a kid back a grade. And a lot of that at this point, too, is because we've already been through three quarters of the school year. And so if you're holding a kid back an entire year, they're going through that same material for months and months just to get back to the last couple months of the school year that we're in now. And so the best idea, according to the research, according to the education experts, is to let this play out, keep your kids learning for the time being if you can, and then next year, if we're able to get back to any sense of normal, kids will work and teachers will work to make some of that up.
I'm guessing that's both academic and for social reasons as well.
Yeah, totally. And if you have a child who has friends in their grade, for example, in school, and they're getting held back, that is going to hurt them socially big time because mm-hmm. all of their friends have moved on, they're doing new things, and they're going to feel like they're stuck in one place.
Let me take you back, Nader. Do you remember what a crazy school year this has been?
I definitely have not forgotten.
Last year, just dealing with the teacher strike and the pros and cons and both sides of that issue, who could have imagined that, you know, come 2020, then this school year would be interrupted by a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, when we got through the teacher strike, everyone sort of took a deep breath, took a sigh of relief that it was over. And we said, all right, we're not going to have a disruption like this for at least another 5 years, because the teacher's contract was 5 years long. And then a few months later, we get a disruption 100 times that size. And yeah, I mean, it has been a crazy year. You have to look at all of the students who not only have had their learning disrupted, but haven't been able to see their friends as much. There are student athletes who played fall sports and then played winter sports or were supposed to play mm-hmm. winter and spring sports, and now that's all disrupted too. You're going to have thousands of kids who wanted to graduate and walk in front of their family and friends in a big ceremony celebrating their accomplishments, and they're not going to get to do that. And yeah, this has really been an unprecedented year for CPS, for a lot of kids, but especially CPS because of the strike.
Absolutely, a double whammy for them for sure. And you think about prom, you think about all those art performances, those final right. performances that everybody in the family comes and sees as well. So we were talking to you a little bit earlier about sort of the digital divide and the equity gaps that exist. You did a beautiful story. I just wanted to mention, I have a couple of minutes left, on inside the life of a homeless Chicago student mm-hmm. in the age of coronavirus, fear of not only failing, but also of not surviving. And I just wanted to ask you, how did you get in touch with the student, and how is she doing?
We actually started talking to this young lady. Her name is Mariah Bingham. She's 11 years old. We started talking to her, I believe the first time was in January. Mm-hmm. And the story at that point was, here's a profile on one of Chicago Public Schools' 17,000 students who were experiencing homelessness. And did a couple of interviews with her and with her mother, and then the coronavirus hit. And after that first week of just covering that daily news, everything that was happening, we thought, hey, we need to find a way to bring this story back up. And especially now, I can't imagine how they're dealing with everything with the coronavirus going on. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and talked to Mariah, talked to her mother, Margaret, and it's just a really, really sad story of an 11-year-old who has lived a dozen places in her life, gone to seven schools, and now they're just sort of trying to, one, focus on school, but it's hard to focus on school when you're trying to survive. And it's really sad that there are thousands of families like this. As far as how they're doing now, they're after we wrote the story, we've had dozens of people reaching out wanting to help. A lot of people have offered to buy Mariah a laptop so she could keep, make any type of monetary donations, buy them clothes. So we've been sending those along to the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, who has been coordinating with the family and working with Mariah and Margaret. So hoping they get some help from all these Good Samaritans.
Well, it's an incredible story of perseverance. I'm glad that people are wanting to reach out and help. I know there's a lot of organizations you can donate used laptops as well for students that don't have computers to work on at home during this e-learning. Also, incredible journalism. Nader Issa, Chicago Sun-Times education reporter. Come back and talk to us again soon.
Will do. Thanks for having me, G.
Thanks so much, Nader.